Are you ready to be in the spotlight? Are you ready to share your story with the world? Well, Snails with No Shells is where you need to be. Available on all digital platforms, Facebook and YouTube. Snails with No Shells. Leave that shell at the door.
Where did we go wrong? We were doing...
Greetings, greetings, beautiful ones. I am Miss BJ Martin, and this is Snails with No Shells. Leave that shell at the door. That's my only rule. It's okay to be a slug for a little while. All right. I'm glad to be here this evening, and joining me, I have an amazing guest. He is talented, funny, handsome, like all the above. Let him come on in. Mark Wiggins.
Hey, BJ, what's up? What is up, girl? How you doing?
What's going on?
Hey, girl, I just finished taking my shell off at the door. You know, I want to mess with the carpet, so I left the shell at the door.
Very good. It's good to see you.
Good to see you too.
I told y'all, handsome. And look, y'all see those magazines? We'll get to that. We'll get to all that. I'm getting ahead of myself. But Mark Wiggins, he is, we're both contributing writers. Mark is a contributing writer to the Own It magazine. He's one of my co-contributing writers. We write to the magazine together, and that's how I met him. All right, let's get into it, Mark.
Yes, what's up, BJ?
Where were you born and raised?
I was born Maple Heights, Ohio, which is south of Cleveland, Ohio. But if you ask me, I say I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. Land next to the lake right there. And grew up there and did all my growing up there. And then I left. I went to school in Huntsville, Alabama. So the University of Alabama, Huntsville, go Chargers, is where I went to college. And then in 93, moved up to the D.C. area and have been here ever since.
Wow. Okay. And look, I'm from Cincinnati.
You're from Cincinnati, girl? Yes. That's Ohio.
Right, that always 10, you know, it's Ohio thing. Yeah, I moved to Georgia in 93, like right after high school. So, Yeah. So, I know what it's like, them cold winters. I don't miss them at all. So you said close to Cleveland. So what was it like growing up in Ohio for you?
Growing up for me was interesting. My parents kept me on the move and engaged and whatever. My dad loved to travel. He was he had served in the Air Force and had been into a lot of different businesses, which is probably that blessed curse that I got. I got it from him and every Wiggins up in Cleveland. If you ain't got a business, you may not be my cousin. If you don't have no business, try the business. Sold something, link, you know, direct marketing to somebody. If you've not done those things, you're probably not my cousin. But my dad was all into that, but he was also into travel. He had his own bus line and he drove people all over the country. And so out of that, we got a lot of exposure that a lot of friends didn't get to do. So I was in the Boy Scouts and the band, of course, you know, playing sports opened up a whole nother door. So I was that dude. I had my band friends, I had my street clique, my friends from the hood, and then I had my basketball love, peer friends all over the city. So that's how I grew up. Yeah, that was it was an interesting lifestyle. And of course the church. Lord Hemmers, don't forget the church, mama have a fit.
Right.
Spent a lot of time at the church.
Every Sunday.
Sunday night, Wednesday night.
Yes.
Don't forget Saturday practice. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you say you was that dude. Okay, so what position did you play on the basketball team?
Well, back then I was the center. I'd be a point guard today at 6'6", but I was the center. And that's what I played. I was saying I probably weighed about 110. I don't know. It was a skinny dude. I played center. We had a great team our senior year, and we won our conference. And everybody got, you know, I got recruited. I said I got one school on scholarship, so I was one of the few.
Awesome.
Yeah, one of the few who left our team to go play college ball and actually finished. So, which was really kind of an honor for me. Like, you know, out of our families, there was no not. A, going to college, and B, not graduating. That's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So my goal was to not have my parents pay for school. So I worked really hard to get that scholarship. Everybody, you trying to get to the league? No, I just want to have college for free. I didn't need to see my parents struggle anymore to pay for me. And that's exactly what happened. So mm-hmm. I was able to go to school on full scholarship, athletic scholarship, to University of Alabama Huntsville, where I spent my time. Yes.
Okay. All right. So basketball player, who was your favorite basketball team?
Well, I'm a Cleveland's fan, so I'm down for the Cavaliers, the Guardians, used to be Indians, and the Browns, bless us all, my Browns. But you know what? We coming up. I was also a Lakers fan. I was a Magic fan to come out of, you know, Michigan with Showtime and all of that. My dad had followed him, got me hooked with him and Robert Parrish and all those guys out of Boston. Of course, then LeBron, being from Cleveland, I'm a LeBron fan. I don't care what he's playing for.
Right.
Rooting for him. He bringing chips wherever he goes, so you can't take
that. That's true.
Say what you want. He's 62, still playing, but you know what I'm saying? He brought a chip. So, but that was it. So it was I love my Cleveland teams still mm-hmm. to this day. As heartbreaking as it is, as you know, as a Cincinnati fan.
Well, you know, I'm not a Cincinnati fan.
What?
No, I know I'm not. Okay, because see, so I'm a Cowboys fan. Because I remember as growing up, it was always my mom and Tony Dorsett. That was it. We was Cowboy fans in our house until they went to the Super Bowl that year and they was doing an icky shuffle and all that. But before uh-huh. that, Cincinnati Bengals wasn't doing nothing.
No, not at all.
No, Cincinnati Bengals wasn't hitting on nothing. Let's be honest. They wasn't. Y'all can get mad at me if y'all want to, but back in them days, no. They were not. So,
no.
Yeah, I grew up a Cowboys fan. That's the only reason. Okay. Yeah, right. So, yeah, see, I had a name. I dropped a name for you. I know.
Right. But let's be clear. For you Cowboy fans, y'all suffer the same fate as the Ohio fan. You don't get nothing at the end of the season. Zero. Looking good. We look good on paper. We look like our coaches just say we're all-star warm-up team. But other than that, we're trash. So y'all come on and be with us. Oh, yeah. Steal it. Steal it.
Hey, everybody was at home on the couch. Everybody. So, hey, it didn't even matter. I'm like, y'all don't even talk. Don't even say nothing. Everybody at home, you know. So, love basketball. I'm a Lakers fan.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know. So, that's cool. So, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, dear gosh. What did I want to be?
Yes.
What did I want to be when I grew up? It wasn't a doctor, a firefighter. I didn't want to be like an athlete, pro athlete. I think I just always wanted to be my own business person, like my dad and my uncles and the people I hung around with. I think that's important. You are the sum total of who you kick it with, right? I didn't recognize the greatness that I was exposed to at an early age. Everyone had a business and I didn't know what that meant. My neighbor up the street owned the skating rink, Blue Goose, who I later found out just recently was a Tuskegee Airman. His daughter's doing a film about that. And then my cousins, they had one of the biggest skaters. We spent a lot of time, but they're all entrepreneurs. And I wanted to be like that, whatever that meant. Whatever, I don't know what that meant. That's what I wanted to be. So even majoring in psychology and communication, I did not want to be a psychologist. I didn't want to go and do it like my sister, who is a PhD doctor. I didn't want to do that. But I think entrepreneur was kind of where I was going to, you know, put me in that space. So that's kind of what to be when I grow up, and speaking didn't come wrong until later, but that's kind of where I ended up. So that's why when I grow up, yep.
Okay, so let's go right into that. Let's go into it.
Right.
Speaking. Let's go right into it. Yeah. So how'd you get into speaking?
Girl, you grew up in the church. Everybody speaks in the church. Easter resuscitation, Mother's Day, you know. You know, it actually started. I put up a picture a while ago of, you know, people always ask me where I learned to speak, and there was this podium in the pulpit, you know, the one that's off to the side for announcements. There, that's where I learned to speak.
Right.
My mom taught, my dad spoke all the time, and you just couldn't get up and sound ignorant. So that this wasn't going to happen in my household. So I would do those things, and then I went off to college or even in high school, because I ain't bragging. So my team was a jump back in the day in the 85s, right? That's when we were the pump. So we were all a newspaper and whatever. So I had to go to church and like, well, Mark, how's everything in school? What's going on? I'm like, and my dad, don't say something stupid. Don't say nothing stupid. So you had to give a complete sentence, right? You had to give a whole thought. And Mark, you did an amazing job. I'm like, oh dear God. So anyway, that's how it all started. But how I got into speaking, after coming home from school, and of course, everybody wants to see how things are going, how you doing, whatever. I started to speak a little bit in college. They would send us out to the community, you'd go talk to the kids about basketball, about college, about life. And I started speaking that way, right? Fast forward many years, I opened up my own cookie store here in Virginia called Cookies by Design. I was the cookie man before I became the speaker man, right?
Okay.
And in your store, you know, you have that brag book where this is what we did. Here's a cutting of the ribbon, blah, 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 blah. Well, one day, a lady from the DECA class came in from high school and said, would you be willing to come and talk to my class about business? I'm like, sure. BJ, I won that joint. So this is what the SBA does, and this is the profit loss sheet, and you got to get your loan together. Whatever. I finished. They liked it. I was bored out of my mind. And I was like, well, God, if you're going to have me up here speaking to these people, I need to say something more, and this is not interesting. And that began the whole shift into not what to do, but how to go do what you want to do. That's the beginning of the off-the-bench mindset was born. And so I started speaking to schools all the time. I was everywhere speaking about goal setting, about SMART goals, about you know, visions and getting it done and tying everything to sport. That was sports connected, right? And it began to go around. I spoke with this company called Make an Account, which is part of Monster.com. That Monster, they had a speaking. We were actually little recruits. We would go speak. They were sponsored by the Navy, whatever. And we would gather names and data. Okay, I'm about to freak all y'all younger people out. Check this out. You would actually put your name and social security number on a piece of paper and give it to somebody. And we would gather up all the information and the data, give it back to the supplier. And they would then start marketing for their programs in school. That's what we did. We went to schools for free and they got the data. Mm-hmm. I spoke to thousands of kids across the country, 9th grade, 10th grade, high school, college. And I began to get my reps in. I began to get speaking and get training, get better. I was horrible. I had to go every 6 months to a team training. It was 250 people who did the exact same thing I did. And you want to be on your game and you want to be on top of it, come to that joint not prepared. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. You'll get embarrassed. You'll be up all night studying. We all having fun. You got to go work. Happened one time, and that was it. So that's how I learned to speak. I mean, don't knock on Toastmasters. I got it. It's beautiful. But nothing's better than live fire. And that's how I learned to cut my teeth. And that's why I've been speaking. And gosh, I've been speaking for a long, long time, long time.
Wow. That's amazing.
I know, right? I got all this stuff going on. People don't have no idea what I've been through to do. I mean, I spoke with a couple different organizations. If you're out there trying to speak, if you are looking to speak, there are groups and organizations that will pay you to go deliver their message. It may be, I made $100 a show. Working for Monster. That was not a lot of money, but it was money nonetheless. But they paid me to learn. I started working with PCA, Positive Coaching Alliance, which is an amazing organization. They're still around. I spoke with them about 9 years, and I did facilitation work. And I had to learn the difference between speaking and facilitating. I was a great speaker, but I was a horrible facilitator because I'm trying to talk the whole time. I needed to learn how to manage them talking back and forth. A good facilitator doesn't say too many words at all. So that's what I did. So I got a lot of reps that way, speaking all over the country, became international speaker with PCA, going to Canada, and speaking all over the West Coast. I was all over the place speaking. That's what I did. So that's how I learned to speak.
Congratulations, Mark. That's awesome. Yes. You're welcome. Now, look, tell me, because I don't know, what is the difference between a speaker and a facilitator? Teach
okay,
me.
So a speaker is a speaker who delivers a speech. It's usually one-way communication, right? I'm going to tell you something. I may get a couple call responses with you, but it's me driving this conversation for 30, 40, 50, 60 minutes, whatever. Mm-hmm. A facilitator is delivering something and teaching at the same time, but I need you to engage with me. We need to have some interactive speaking, so I would pose a question, ask for an answer, get another answer, then go back and dissect, deliver the point, go on. So facilitation work was different because I didn't speak a whole lot, but my speaking skills gave me the baseline to do facilitation work, where a lot of people who were doing PCA work were coaches and referees who love sports and love this message, which I do and I didn't do, but they were not great speakers. They were boring. Okay. They were like, I like, they would have all these little interactive activities. We're gonna do an activity, whatever. And I'm old school. I'm like West Side old school speaker. I don't need no flies and fly. I don't need nothing fancy. All I need is me. I am the prop, right? That's just what I do.
That's right.
But it was the storytelling. It was engaging. I'm pulling stories with me and my daughter, or me and my son, or back when I was in high school, finding mm-hmm. the message and delivering. And people are like, I wish you would do more stories. So that's what facilitation work is. And those who are really, really good at it, again, they're amazing. You can get a lot out in the facilitation work. So definitely get into that. Get to some facilitation skill sets.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. Thank you for that. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope y'all taking notes. It's some good jewels being dropped today.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
But you don't speak, BJ? I thought you don't speak at all.
Not yet, but it's coming.
Now, listen, if you're writing, again, if you got a platform, you need to be speaking. If we know we're in this book together and the magazines together, I got my own magazine, you need to be speaking. If you're a business owner, I train beginning speakers. I train the speaker from the zero to one. When I come off a stage or whatever, oh my God, Mark, I've always wanted to speak. What I need to do, that one. That's who I want. I don't need you. Your message is already good together. I can help you. My passion is to help you pull your story together and get your core message together so you can deliver it time and time and time again, right? And your core message is your product, your service, or your platform. And if you can learn how to deliver that with your stories, you can control the room. You can control the room. That's what I do.
I'm taking notes too. Oh, wow. I didn't know you did all that, Mark. This is why I love doing I don't call them interviews. I call them conversations. Yes, because nobody's trying to get a job around here, you know? So I enjoy these conversations because I learned so much that I didn't know.
I know. There's a lot up in here. I know. Don't get fooled by all the chocolate sitting over here. I got a lot going on. It took a long time to get over here. You know, and the weird part is, BJ, since we have a conversation, here's the not so strange part, but it's really hard and humbling to not talk about stuff and brag, right? I'm not even giving you a piece of all I've done, right? And oh my God, it's amazing. I was like, well, let me just stop talking, because if you thought that was good, I'm not going to share the rest of this with you because everybody can't handle it. And sometimes I get really like, I don't want to talk about all I've done. I just work hard. I keep grinding, do what I got to do. But every once in a while, like I talk about in my stuff, which is usually me talking about me to you. And my conversation is you need to pat yourself on the back. You need to let people know. Allow me to reintroduce myself. Let you know who I am for real, for real. The next time you see me, you'll know me. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's right. And man, look. Man, please, because you, Mark, that melanated man who doing these things, we need to see that. You need to talk about more what you do, because you need to be in it. You don't have a choice. You are a leader. You know, you are an example, and we need to see that. We need to see that more. I ain't nobody worried about, they can't handle.
Right. It's a mindset. You're 100%. That's 100% mindset.
If you want to get your game up, call Mark, reach out to Mark. That's what you do. Don't be upset. Reach out to them, to the person that you need to reach out to, and find out how you can do it too. That's what it's all about. We do this so that others can see us doing these things. It's like, if I can do it, you can do it too. That's it.
Absolutely. You can do it. But it's fun. When you work inside your passion, and that's why my whole thing is off the bench. So I've been to magazine, off the bench podcast.
Let's talk about the magazine.
So we, Marisa, who is the sinister connector behind all of this, Puppet Master. This was a phenomenal. I mean, the story of how we met is just kind of shaky how we met. I'm up in Philly going to speak. Father, my brother, some cap off the side, we're throwing a set at the cigar bar. I called an Uber Lyft, and here she come, sitting in the car. She started talking. Well, I'm talking back. Hey, how you doing? I'm good. She said, I'm a speaker. Are you a speaker? Yeah, I'm a speaker too. I'm on IG. Boom, boom, boom. That was all I asked her from Marisa. About a year later, she patches back and says, "Hey," and this is what BJ, this is what blew me right here. She's like, "Hey, remember me? I picked you up." So first of all, you're trolling me. How I remember a year ago.
Right.
who are you? I got this magazine. I want you to advertise in the magazine. So I advertise my podcast in the magazine. She comes back and say, "You need to have your own magazine. As a black man, you need to have your own magazine." I said, "Girl, I don't write that much. I hate writing." She said, "No, fool, not for you, for other people." I was like, "Oh,
yes.
So, yes. Okay, well, this could work." And right at that time, I had a cohort of 7 speakers. I was running through my core training program with 7 speakers. And I came back to them. I said, "You now have a new tasking. Everybody's got to write for the magazine." And so now my magazine is part of my coaching program, is that you got to write for the magazine because I'm working on your message. Working on your platform, you know what I'm saying. You got to work on getting it out. So that's how the magazine started, and Off the Bench is what I've been doing. And we're talking about Off the Bench lifestyle and motivation. So motivational lifestyle magazine to help you move from the bench to the starting lineup of life, whatever it is for you, and then how to go do that. Yeah, girl, the magazine is on fire. I've done some amazing stuff in the magazine. I think it was last year's All-22 All Star. It was in Cleveland, and I got another shaky phone call. Somebody said, "Hey, I saw you out here on Facebook dating, and I was reaching out to you." And I was like, "Okay, hey, how's it going?" I'm like, "Who is this?" I'm flipping through. I said, "Well, I got off. Well, I listened to your voicemail message, and I went and checked you out. I trolled you, and I need to talk to you about speaking." I was like, "So we're not gonna go out?" So it's you. I mean, really cool. Well, check this out though, BJ. She was from Cleveland. And not only was she from Cleveland, the circle started getting smaller and smaller and smaller. She goes, "My husband you played against in high school." She told me who her husband was. I said, "Oh, snap. We played against him in the conference. That means you bit." "Yeah. So you remember that gym?" "Yeah, I was there too." I said, "Wow.
That is
seeing you back in the day, because you know there was that set of basketball players and they rolled all the girls out." Again, small world. So we became quick friends. And she was working with LeBron's mom, Gloria. And so they ran the fashion show in Cleveland. And she called me and said, "Hey, you come." I said, "Can I do paparazzi?" I said, "I want to shoot the fashion show." I said, "Sure." She said, "You can come. Girl, I got a camera. I got my microphone. I'm in back. I'm taking pictures and interviewing folks." It's in my March Women of Power magazine and the May magazine, where I did the whole spread of this show. I mean, it was amazing. I went to the game, I'm shooting pictures. I had an amazing time. And that wouldn't only would have happened if I did not have this magazine. And I got to tell stories. I got to talk to people who own businesses. And then Gloria did a single moms only brunch, private brunch. Mm-hmm. And that's her thing in Akron. And I got to be in a room and Gloria was talking and I heard the whole story. I was like, "Whoa, that's deep. That's deep. That you were there, and now you know you through all of your struggles and whatever. Your son is on top of the world, and you right there. You know what I'm saying? Right. Running the foundation, which is a phenomenal. Like, anyway, give me talking about LeBron and his hospitals and schools and stuff. I don't care about the rest of that stuff. That stuff is important.
Yes,
that's really important. So, yeah, the magazine is amazing. You know, people go to offthebenchmagazine.com. Subscribe. Subscription is free. And get the magazine, get these motivations.
Yes, and Mark, he has a powerful word. Who does that? He sends a powerful word of a message on Wednesday.
Wow, yeah, the Woke Wednesday. It's 2 to 3 minutes. We got a little long sometimes. 2 to 3 minutes every Wednesday. I send out a video to my subscribers, just motivational stuff, what I'm walking through. We can talk about success, fear, moving forward, and BJ, without fail, what I'll do sometimes when I finish shooting the video, I've usually exercise or whatever, I'll send it in Facebook. I just random scroll, stop, scroll.
Yeah.
Without fail, someone patches back and goes, "I needed that."
Yes.
Thank you so much. And that's all I need. At that point, I'm done. I'm good. I don't care who else is in it. One person for me is awesome. Yes. And people do listen. I don't think they might be watching. They be listening and watching. They trust me. I'm late. Where's Woke Wednesday? Where's it at?
Yes.
So if you didn't subscribe to the magazine, get your Woke Wednesday. You definitely can get it that way. It's part of the free subscription.
Yes. That magazine is dope, you guys. And those Wednesday Woke messages, you did one last week about golf. Y'all need to check it out. He did one about golf. Yeah, I watched it.
You like that? Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yes, I mean, that was dope. I enjoyed that.
I have one now that the one I posted now, you know, just came out, was about, you know, the journey of people trying to become initiated into a fraternity, and mm-hmm. that whole process and your journey, right? You know, your journey is your journey, and don't be judging me by my journey. Mm-hmm. But judge me about what I do when I get to where I said I was going. Well, now what you're going to do, basically.
Right.
So we get that part. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I got another one I'm about to drop for next week. I can't wait. It's going to be a good one.
Awesome. I get to see it because I am subscribed.
Thank you, BJ.
Yes. No problem. Okay, so we're going to take a commercial break, give a shout out to the sponsor of tonight's episode of Snails and No Shells. When we come back, we're going to talk about your word of the year. Word of the year, and we're going to talk about the Own It anthology.
Gotcha.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We have Mark Wiggins in the building, editor-in-chief. And you need to check out his magazine, offthebenchmagazine.com. If you missed it, y'all gonna have to watch the replay because, oh my gosh. We have had a good time so far this evening. Okay, yes. So yes. So Mark, let's get into it. Mm-hmm. What is your word of the year? What is that about?
Okay, so the word of the year started about 6-7 years ago. You know, usually if you go to watch night service or church or something like that, they give you something to think on for the whole year to kind of to level it in. And I wanted to start this word of the year. I always have a word, it was like either motivate, accelerate, uplift, achievement. I would just rock words every year, and all of a sudden it became this thing. It actually gave me another reason to get on Facebook Live and talk about something, right? Again, it's my platform to get my voice out here, right? Mm-hmm. So it became a thing. So people started like, what's your word of the year? I said, I need to really do this word of the year thing for real. So I will do it every single year, come up with new words. Last year, the word was willing. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, what am I going to do with this thing? So I chewed on this for a long time. I was like, I need something different, something unique. And so the word defer came up, right? Mm-hmm. So we know what defer is. It's like you want to defer them car payments. You want to defer them. Right. You put that joint to the end. We defer them student loans things to the end as they accrue interest, whatever. So at some point in time, you have to handle that, right? So the term came out, undefer. I said, is this really a word? I said, if it's going about to be, I put a hyphen in it, makes it legit. So it's undefer, which means I put something off, and I'm actually going to go get it and bring it back. Mm. And what I put off had been me.
Mm.
I deferred me.
Mm-hmm.
My goals, my dreams, my aspirations, my loves, whatever have been deferred for whatever reason, life, pandemic, work, their choices. You chose to put something off. Your success, that business, getting that coach, trying to improve yourself, you've deferred that choice off. And so my word is to go back and get it and bring it back into work and engage it. So that's why I use the word undefer, because what I said at the beginning of my year was I was going to undefer the speaker man, right? I'm going to undefer him, which means the stuff I did while I was speaking that I did a whole lot of, I put off to the side. Kids graduating, off med school, working, life, blah, blah, blah. Make sure kids are launching. You didn't have a time to give it 100%. I played with it. I stayed active with it, but I still haven't done exactly what I said I would do with speaking, to be honest with you. Okay. And I deferred it. And now I'm going to undefer it and now do the things that I said I would do, from marketing, events, hosted, created, on platform, more podcasts, more interviews, conversations, whatever, to get the word out, because that's how you grow your business. So I've done all the things we need to do. Again, I've been speaking for almost 30 years. I've done everything that we need to do, which we won't talk about. I've done it. Now can I put it all together and deliver the package? That's my new goal. So that's what my word is undefer. So BJ, did you do a word of the year? Because I know you followed along. Do you have a word of the year?
I don't have a word of the year, but it's not too late.
No.
I have to think of one. That's a good one though. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I defer. Yeah. That's really good. Because I think about some things that I could probably go back and get.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right. One of the things we started, the steps, these are steps, the last stuff I talk about. But the one thing that's, I think, the most powerful is if you can understand why you deferred it, why did you put it over there? There's a reason. There's a choice you had to make. And can you go back and now go get it and move forward? That's I think, the power of it all, because it is not too late to undefer some stuff. I think during pandemic, we saw a lot of people undefer a lot of stuff. You know, they went back and got hobbies that they ain't touched in 20 years. I mean, what else are we going to do? You know, we were here. People got out of that hustle, businesses started, passions. People quit jobs, went into their passion. I mean, it was phenomenal. They undeferred their passion. And they were living life, just living, but they weren't, you know, they were doing life, but they weren't living life. And they undeferred it. They actually live life. So that's my challenge. You know, most of my discussions have been about undeferring. I'm a work Wednesdays because that's the word I'm driving. I speak with. I have a whole speech for undefer. It's phenomenal. I did for women, it's like being the willing leader. You know, what does that mean? There's a lot of different stuff to it. So it's a great tool, a great challenge for you to hold yourself accountable. Absolutely.
Yes, I love that. Yes, and definitely holding yourself accountable. Yeah, because it's on you, and only on you. Right,
it is your biggest critic, hold up, and hurdle. You need to become our biggest fan, supporter, and barrier breaker.
Right. That's right, your own personal cheerleader. That's right,
right. And again, it's not easy. I don't want anybody to get out here and believe, oh, Mark got to get, no, Mark does not. That's why I talk about it, so I can stay accountable to the process. Even if you take, you know, people think success is like one big event, it's not. It's a series of small wins along the way, headed teaching to take you somewhere, right? It's think about people in rehab. One degree in range is a lot. One degree, especially when you lost it, you know what I'm saying? With a surgery, car accident, you're painting and scrapping and popping and moving things over and all that, trying to get that one degree back to get to 90 or past 190 or past 90 degrees to get that range of motion back. It's amazing what achievement looks like. It's amazing what success looks like. It's painful. It's 100% painful.
Yes, so. And I was going to say, and there is sacrifice. Please understand that. There is sacrifice. Whenever you want, when you're going to the next level, you want something new, there is sacrifice. You're going to have to give up something to get something.
BJ, what'd you sacrifice to do what you're doing?
I sacrificed watching TV. Right, I spent a lot of time no Netflix, no nothing. Right, I didn't watch no TV. I was just so focused because I was doing that inner work. I went in my cocoon, you know.
Right,
I wasn't watching any TV. I sacrificed, you know, hanging out, you know. Man, what else? I sacrificed so much. I'm trying to think. I sacrificed a lot. I did. Because I had to get to the bottom of me and figure out, you know, what the next step was going to be.
So we're going to ask you this, as I steal your podcast interview. and make this about you. What was your off the bench moment? When was that situation where you went from thought, process, vision, to action? What was your off the bench moment?
I think my off the bench moment was actually when I want to say in, I want to say 2020. I want to say that was like the beginnings of BJ, you know, coming out. Who was Miss BJ Martin? You know, that's when she came to the forefront, because she had been doing all this work behind the scenes, and she decided, you know, it was time. My grandmother had died that year. My brother was murdered that year, you know, and there was just a push, you know. So like all my grandparents have passed, and I feel like when our ancestors pass, you know, when they pass and they go into the other side, that they help us out. They can do more for us in the spiritual world than they can in the physical. So I just felt this push, you know, like it's time to go, you know. It's time to get out here and use your voice, because I had lost my voice. My voice was taken away from me at a young age. Okay. So I grew up for a long time, you know, not being able to speak, you know, how I feel, and, you know, not being able to, you know, hold secrets and just, you know, just be quiet. You know, what goes on in this house stays in this house. You understand what I'm saying? So I was voiceless, and I was also, if I was, you know, saying something, I'm cheering for everyone else, but I was not cheering for myself. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I had to, going back to sacrifice, I had to sacrifice like everybody else for myself. Even my own children. I had to put I love my children, but I had to put them, sacrifice kind of some time with them. Really, I did, to be able to get to me. Makes sense.
100%. And that's that deferred thing we do, right? You had to make some choices, and you deferred for the greater good, right? Using your mother, and you got to take care of that. Well, you can't always run off and do what you want to do. You know, I'm rolling through raising kids, and all of a sudden, you know, not all of a sudden, it wasn't a surprise, end up divorcing. And so now you're single divorced dad, and ain't nothing, no bigger priority than making sure my kids were good. And the biggest of the two priorities, making sure my son was good. And as that time came around, there was no time for the stuff I wanted to do. I had to be present. More so than I usually was. I was always around, always present, but there's a different level that was required. And pandemic, my son was off at school, came back from break, and got stuck here with me for like 9 months. I was like, oh dear God, I'm about to kill this dude. He was like, I can't stand this dude. But out of that, and watching him struggle to prepare for the MCAT to go to med school, you know, BJ, I saw my son almost have a break, and it was not pretty. I was scared. And he had to find his way, you know, to get him back.
And then
we had these conversations started happening, and I dubbed them King Conversation, which I do now once a month on the podcast, last Wednesday of the month, where it's just men talking about men stuff. And me and my son would sit outside on my deck, smoke cigar, sip a little something, and he would just start asking me like dope questions.
Yes.
And I'm like, I've been waiting for this.
Right.
Poor. And I'd walk out of that conversation exhausted. Like, I don't think I have anything else to give at this moment.
Right.
But that's what my job was.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finished college, graduated, drove him to med school in Cleveland, where I'm from. He's over at Case Western. That's where he's at. He's at Case Western Reserve. And I came back. BJ, it took me 2 months to recognize that he wasn't coming home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an empty nester. Daughter's already grown, doing her thing. He's working in his profession. He ain't just at school.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I was like, I need to undefer some stuff. And that's that moment you recognize, like, yo. And it's, again, it's not a big broadcast moment. It's not a post-worthy moment. But those out there watching and listening at home, taking notes, just begin where you are. Mm-hmm. Starting over is not an option. We don't need to hear about it. I'll see the action. I'll see the results. I'll notice the change. I'm like, you don't do it. That's because I'm doing this over here. Check this out. Or I'm over here. I've been working this for months, been grinding. Wow, that's amazing. I always knew that you would. Why didn't you say something? Why didn't you say something? You're like, you wouldn't hurt me no way. But it's not a matter of any of those things. And that's the kind of things I talk about is you don't need, I wrote a whole book called Permission to Succeed. The only person who needs to give it is you.
That's right.
And the second book was called Success Does Not Need a Co-Signer. I don't need you to co-sign on my success.
There
I don't
it
need
is.
You to give me feedback to what I'm doing for my success, because my success is mine. What looks stupid to you is not stupid to me. God right. gave me this dream. He gave you your dream. You don't. I don't need you to tell me this is, looks good or not. It's not right. for you to decide. And we need right. to start deferring that power back from people. We've deferred that power to other people and given it off to people, our spouse or relationship or whomever, our cousin, auntie and them, to have that kind of power over us. We need to undefer those movements and get that power back to you, right?
Yes.
And you roll out and let them now look at you to see if they need some approvals.
Right.
And you need to turn around and tell them, you don't even tell you to be successful, because I doggone sure didn't need you to tell me.
Right. right.
So there's where you can see that's kind of where I shift my passion into those area spaces, because I had to deal with all of that, right? Mm-hmm. I dealt with all of that.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And I don't regret anything. Ladies or parents, don't feel bad if you have to take some time for yourself and work on you, because I'm a better version of myself today than I have ever been in my entire life. I can be that mother and that, you know, that wise woman to my children, you know, that I have the answers now because I took the time, you know what I'm saying, to evolve and study, you know. And learn a lot of things. Like I've taught myself how to do so many different things. You know, we talked about the transcribing. It's crazy. I won't do it again. but I know how to do it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know. Yep. So yeah.
Well, you know, this is a quick message out to your single moms who are raising these little kings out here. Let me give you this free hack today. Your kings need you, right? They need you healthy. They need you in a space that teaches us the side of us that we need to deal with women like you when I find one. I'm not going to learn this anywhere else properly outside of what you're teaching me. And what you're giving me is what I'm going to go do. If you're teaching me to be mad at women and be mad at men and this, that, and the third, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. If you're teaching me to be healthy, to analyze, to shed a tear, to have some compassion, this, that, and the third, I'm going to be that too. I'm gonna get it now and have it and be something special. I'm gonna go get my head cracked later on in life and figure out this is how I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But you need to take care of you first.
Yes.
You have to take care of you. You need to, if possible, to make sure your kids go where they're supposed to go so you can have your moments in time. And I was dealing with a friend of mine at work, young sister, got several kids, and her husband and her just separated, and she has got parent guilt out the wazoo. Mm-hmm. And I did have to speak to her. I was like, listen, You're not doing them any service. This heroism and I got them all the time. I got my kids all the time. I got my kids all the time. You're burning yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
They got a whole daddy over there that they do spend time with and love. They don't get to decide they want to go or not. No, this is your time. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
That's you gonna take care of you. Not because you don't. It's not a sign. It's actually more love shown when you make them go and do the things that they don't want to do, but it's necessary for them. They have a whole father. He needs to be involved.
Yes.
And you're the one that makes that happen. So I just say out there, encourage the moms raising these kings out there. I'm speaking to the kings. Can't speak for y'all queens. Y'all be battling. I don't know. Y'all be going at it. But for these kings out here, we need a different type of hand. Mm-hmm. We need a different type of hand. And you can't give it like it's supposed to be given. You give it like my mother is supposed to give it to a son to prepare him to deal with women like you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we're better for it. Let me just say that. Awesome. I'm better for it. The way mm-hmm. my mother raised me. And the way she dealt with me and the way she still has hand with me. You know what I'm saying? She can she can speak that word and I'd be like, what? And she can go at that soul piece and say, I ain't talked to you in 2 weeks, but I hear you over there effing up. So let's talk about it.
Right.
How do you know?
Right.
I don't know. I be knowing. But nonetheless, so I just put that out there. Just hit my heart. So I'm going to share that with your audience.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's right. Hit your heart. Hey, that's spirit. He said, let's bring, because mm-hmm. you don't know who's watching, who needed to hear that. Yes, mm-hmm. I love it. Okay, so Mark, let's get into the Own It Anthology. Woo!
Let's talk about it. I had said I would not do another anthology project. I have produced, I have produced 8 anthology books. Me and my partner called the Mind Now series. Mm-hmm. And at the business school, we had writers all over the country. I was like, I'm not doing any more of these projects. They're cute, they're nice, whatever. But then Marissa hits in and said, I need you this project. Marissa, I'm not doing it. I really can't. I need you this book. I was like, fine. You know, coach need to help. So I wrote on Power Shift out of that magazine right here.
Mm-hmm, nice.
It was the women of this power issue called the Power Shift. And so that's what I wrote about in the anthology. And, you know, she took that puppy and ran it. And we got number one Amazon bestseller, number one journal and all that kind of good stuff. Yes. So I'm excited about the book. You know, yes. I came with 9,900 authors in this thing. It's a lot of
paper. I'm telling you.
four volumes of authors in this one book. So you get really? Motivation for days if you get this book. Y'all need to go out and order the book and get it in. So now, what'd you write about, BJ? What'd you write about?
I wrote about Snails with No Shells. I wrote about my show, my podcast, because the name came to me in a dream. I had a name. Snails with No Shells. Huh?
Tell me more. I was going to ask you.
I was. I had a dream about it. I woke up like snails with no shells. What is this? I had no idea what is attached to or anything. And so I'm a journaler. Yes, I tell my people to journal. I'm a journaler. I'm not going to tell you do nothing I don't do, right?
Right.
So I keep a journal by my bed. So I write it out in my journal. And I say maybe that was like January 2021. I want to say later that year, Snails with No Shells podcast. Mm. You know, and even in that, it was like, I had a couple people that was like, you should start a podcast. I'm like, a podcast? Me? Mm-hmm. They're like, yes, you. Okay, I'll do it. You know, I'm always up for the task. I'm a life learner. You know, I'm committed to that. I say I'm a life learner. I'm always open to learning anything. And so I said, okay, I'll start the podcast. Next thing I know, man, I'm popping them out. Man, I was just going strong, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. Nothing but God, because I had no idea what it was for, what was the name was for, what it connected to or anything. And then when I became a part of the contributing writer of when I met Marissa, mm-hmm. through another anthology that I was part of, Joy and the Journey, with Vernessa Blackwell, I met Marissa through that opportunity. Because I was doing a podcast just audio. Mm-hmm. And then Maurice was like, she was doing a StreamYard. And I was like, oh, what's that? So there we go, live. I'm on StreamYard now. You know, so she helped me take my show to the next level. Mm-hmm. Just based on because I met her through another anthology project. But it's not just another anthology project. That's nothing but God universe, mm-hmm. putting us all together. You know, because who knew that Marissa, she's amazing. She's an amazing woman. And I always talk about that, how she overserves. She serves. She's a good leader, knows how to serve. Mm-hmm. Right. And so she overserves. So I definitely, I love Marissa. You know, she is an amazing person. And so, I talk about how I started the show and just certain things that I had to do within myself when I went, you know, how I had to remove my shell. I talk about removing your shell and being a slug for a little while, you know, just relax and just be, people don't like the word vulnerable. So just be open, you know, and work on that healing process. That's what it's all about. Just chill out. It's okay. You ain't got to walk around, you know, all the huffy, you know, I'm tough all the time. Relax, you know. Mm-hmm. But see, that's me. I have space. I hold space for especially my men, you know, to be able to relax and just be you, you know. So I talk about that and kind of some of my journey of removing my shell. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
I know. Yeah, we're talking about the power shift. It really is about probably the early stages of the undefer, when you start refocusing what you were doing, wherever your energy went, right? And now you bring it over here. I'm shifting the power here. I'm moving it from the sides to the front shields in Star Trek. Shift, bring all the, put the power to the front shields. Let's get it. You shifted right. that and put it somewhere else because you needed to do something extraordinary, right? You just can't be doing regular stuff. And that was the impetus for the power shift. I'm like, yeah, we need to all get into our bag and get our power straight where we want to go, because that's the only way you're going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you're trying to go is that you put your energy and focus into it. No matter mm-hmm. what we say, coaches say, it's still a choice. And you still have to get off your own bench and get mm-hmm. to where you're trying to get to. So I love it. I love the project. I'm looking forward to interviewing more of the authors and stuff on there. I could do a whole month.
Really?
56 weeks, a whole year of interviews.
A year, yep. You could do a whole year.
Right, yes. Right.
57 authors. That's amazing. And the journal is off the chain. I have never seen a journal like that. So we yeah. all had it.
Yeah. Are you going to the DR for the conference? You are. Oh my God. She asked me. I was tentative and going ahead on the books to go. I said, yeah, I'm gonna go. But then this opportunity came up to be co-host of Red Carpet in Detroit. And I was like, I gotta go get that. You know, I saw that. Mm-hmm. So that's gonna be huge. With Omar Gooding is the other host of this particular show. Opportunity to win it.
Junior's mm-hmm. brother, right?
I guess I don't want to say that, but somebody's okay. You put out there. I just said Omar Gooding. I don't know who that is.
Right.
I better find it's out. Somebody. He's a baby boy and stuff. Comedian.
Yeah, that's Cooper Gooding Junior's brother.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah. all I need to know is Mark Wiggins is going to be right there. I'll catch next year. I missed a whole nother event. I spoke at last year, the Business Crossing Network here in Virginia. And I did this. She made the mistake of putting me on the stage. She said, Mark, you want to speak? I can have you speak before. I said, mm-mm. You can speak before lunch. I said, no, ma'am. I said, you need to have me at the very end of all your speakers. You don't want anybody following behind me when I go speak. She ain't know, BJ.
You know the power. Magazine right here. The power, right? She ain't know.
And again, when I was done, she was like, oh, I'm so, I said, I tried to tell you. You didn't know. You did. And then you try to tell people, like, yeah, I really speak. Okay, Mark, or whatever. She was on a whole other podcast. I don't know where she was or who she was speaking to. And she called me back. She said, I told this person that you were speaking. She said, oh my God, Mark is speaking. You're going to be amazing. So at that point, she believed that mm-hmm. was good. Well, mm-hmm. I left her stage raggedy when I was finished because I told her that all the way down. She was like, oh my God. And you want me to come back? I said, well, I can't come back right away. I got to put a little space in before I show back up. I can't be running back a year to year. But no, she heard is right dead in the middle where I'm supposed to be in Detroit. And then Maurice is right after. So it wasn't going to work for me at this time. But I know it's going to be off the chain. And hope everybody who's listening can try to get there. Still got time. I guess it's March. So
yeah.
Are you staying over extra days or are you just going down and coming back?
No, I'm not staying no extra time. No, I'm just going to go for the, April the 26th through the Tuesday through Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll just be there for that. No extra days for me.
That's a lot. I mean, that's 5 good days in DR.
I think that's enough. 5 good days in the DR. I think that's going to be perfect. Yes.
What's next for BJ? What do you got going on?
Okay, so I'm glad that you asked. So I just launched my coaching program. It's called Enjoy Your Life Now. It's okay. a 90-day program, and it's I'm focusing on business owners and entrepreneurs who are dealing with stress, you know, managing stress and having anxiety. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you know, sometimes we forget about, you know, the business owners and entrepreneurs. People think, oh, they got it together, but it's a lot of pressure, you know, on them. And again, it's a lot of sacrificing. You know, they sacrifice a lot to be able to maintain these businesses, you know, and a lot rests on their shoulders. And sometimes they sacrifice their mental, you know, their mental health, you know, trying to get it done, you know, on the grind, they sacrifice their health and their mental health. Some things that they just don't really be thinking about because they just sometimes autopilot, just going. And so, you know, I'm dealing with the stress and anxiety, not even thinking about it. And they're full of it because it's a lot. You know, I've been there and done that before. And it's just a lot of pressure. And it's very stressful. And so I'm here. I'm the solution. You know, I'm here to help them get that stress managed, you know, and enjoy their lives. You know, you don't have to just be work and not enjoy your success. That's not fair. You know, so yeah, so that's what I got going on. I am, look, to reintroduce myself, look, I am Ms. Right? The harmonious health coach. Yes. Yeah, so what I'm doing, I'm going to help them balance it all out. You know, it's important to have a healthy, balanced lifestyle. People focus on going to the gym, the physical part of it. Well, we need to focus on the mental part. Too. The mental part is so important, because your mental, even to go to the gym, you got to make up your mind that I need to go to the gym. You know what I'm saying? It starts in your mind first. Mm-hmm. So that's why the mental health is so important. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm doing. I just launched. I'm so excited. And I'm just, I don't know. I'm just like excited, but I'm ready.
Okay. Well, that's what's up. I'm really excited. I want to hear more about that. We'll have to get you on the podcast. You can talk about it.
Yeah, that'd be dope. And y'all can go to my website, IamMsBJMartin.com. IamMsBJMartin.com. I'm putting my... All right, Mark. So we're going to wrap it up tonight. If you would, please leave the audience with a quote or a message or something that they, a good nugget. You've already given us a bunch of nuggets. I don't even know what else, you know, what more you're going to tell us. One more thing would be great.
All right. So let me leave you with this. As always, if you can reach your dreams with a stepladder, then they're probably too low. I'm out. That's all I got for you.
All right. Thank you for that, Mark. Thank you so much for being on Snails and No Shells. We appreciate you. And I know we're connected for life now, so I know you'll be back. I know we're going to see each other. Yes, and definitely we're connected to Marisa. So I appreciate that.
You're welcome, BJ. Thank you for having me on. Great
Thank show you. Tonight. Thank you. And before I go, what I would like to say is, remember, just like the sun, you are necessary. I love y'all. Peace.
Bye.
It's just my imagination, or is it just insane?